Welcome to Heidelberg Meditations this Monday of the 30th week in the year of our Lord 2022, as we turn our attention to Heidelberg Catechism question and answer 80. One of the reasons for the Heidelberg Catechism is because the magisterial reformers sought to outline what they understood to be biblical orthodoxy, a word meaning right, true, or straight belief, and biblical orthopraxy, a word meaning right, true, or straight practice. They were defining these terms over and against the Roman Catholic Church. As one of the seminal documents of the early Reformation, the Heidelberg Catechism was written both to bolster the faith and doctrine of those who had broken away from the Roman Catholic Communion, and to refute some of the more glaring errors that the Roman Catholic Church had come to embrace over the centuries. We have noted in past meditations how the Reformers held to two sacraments rather than the seven of the Roman Church. They taught imputed righteousness versus infused righteousness. They proclaimed justification by faith alone in Christ alone, rather than accept the mediation of an earthly priest, penance, or indulgences. And they disagreed with the doctrine of transubstantiation, that the bread and wine become the literal flesh and blood of Jesus. In today's meditation, with the doctrine of transubstantiation in the back of our minds, we turn to one of the biggest issues the Reformers had with Rome concerning what had become known as the Roman Mass. And so we ask in Heidelberg Catechism question 80, what difference is there between the Lord's Supper and the Pope's Mass? We answer, the Lord's Supper testifies to us that we have full forgiveness of all our sins by the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which he himself once accomplished on the cross, and that by the Holy Spirit we are engrafted into Christ, who, with his true body, is now in heaven at the right hand of the Father, and is there to be worshipped. But the Mass teaches that the living and the dead do not have forgiveness of sins through the sufferings of Christ, unless Christ is daily offered for them by the priests, and that Christ is bodily under the form of bread and wine, and is therefore to be worshipped in them. And thus the Mass at bottom is nothing else than a denial of the one sacrifice and suffering of Jesus Christ, and an accursed idolatry. The first thing we confess in answering this question is the key to the rest of the answer. That is, we have full forgiveness of all our sins by the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which he himself once accomplished on the cross. Notice the reiteration of the term one and once. This one-time sacrifice is reiterated throughout the book of Hebrews, standing over and against the teaching of the Mass, which argues that Jesus is sacrificed over and over. Hebrews 9, verse 12 tells us, Jesus entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. Later, in verse 28 of chapter 9, we find Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. And then, in the next chapter, chapter 10, verse 10 informs us that by the will of God, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Thus we confess that when Jesus bowed his head, in John chapter 19, verse 30, and said, "It is finished," as he died upon the cross. In that moment, any need for any other sacrifice was fully and completely eliminated for the rest of time and eternity. All animal sacrifices were rendered obsolete, and all future sacrifice was made sacrilegious. For by the sacrifice of Jesus the Christ, offered once for all, we who look to him in faith have been forgiven of all our sins, redeemed from death, and given the promise of life everlasting, that we might rejoice to give him thanks and praise. For he alone is worthy of all glory, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.